Hey folks, before we get going with this week's episode, if you're in the Tri-City area, Kitchener, Cambridge, Guelph, then you need to check out Royal City Bowman. They've got memberships for individuals at 140 and family memberships at 200. If you want to get into a great community and shoot some archery 3D targets this year, then go ahead and check out royalcitybowman.com and sign up today. What's going on, bro?
Well, you know, having a sip of gingy.
He loves that old ginger ale, Ava.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a case of that when we go to Tack.
Canada Dry. Now, that's who we need to sponsor.
You definitely need a Canada Dry sponsor.
I have.
Imagine how much money that would save you.
So much money over the years.
I wonder how much money you've spent in ginger ale.
I bet it's a dastardly amount.
I bet it would hurt your feelings.
Oh, I know it's in the tens of thousands.
It has to be.
I know.
I know when I quit smoking, it paid for my truck.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, easily. Yeah. I actually had money left over.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how much smoking would run you, especially smoking
darts. Well, especially when you smoke like we used to smoke.
Well.
We smoked darts.
A few.
Yeah.
Scattered. But
luckily, we're both quit now, so that's great.
Well, yeah, I just do the vapey thing now.
Yeah.
It's way cheaper.
Oh, I bet. You probably get... What? How much you pay for a week's worth of?
Well, for a month, it's like $40.
Oh my god! I spent $40 in 4 days on darts. Oh, no, 2 days.
I was gonna say
it was a bag a day. Anyway, that's some good archery consumer advice right there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, Tack, brother, what are you bringing for an arrow?
Well, still,
now I'll be running that my new hunting fancy arrow. Bow. Yeah, me too.
So I got the same base platform, which is going to be the 5mm Black Eagle Rampage, the original version. You got the new version with the knock collars.
Yeah, they're new, updated. Yeah,
and
it's the same arrow, just it has a knock collar on it with a shorter knock.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll show it to you right here because we'll put a video version of this out. But you can see this is just a metal collar.
Yeah.
It slides over the knock. So I don't know. I mean, it adds a bit of weight to the arrow. Not that much, but I don't know what the purpose of them doing that was. Maybe it's to save the back of the arrow from getting smashed.
Maybe like it's more of a 3D design type.
Yeah. Maybe if you Robin Hood the arrow, maybe it doesn't split the arrow. Maybe it deviates the other arrow and you just lose your knock, which would be great.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not that I Robin Hood arrows very often, but
no, I've done like two.
Yeah, I think that's all I've done and one or two.
Like the first time I was like, yay, wicked, awesome, cool, I Robin Hood an arrow. The second time I was like, shit, that's like $28.
Not cool.
No, it's no good. You learn real quick,
so you're running
shoot at all the different dots. Don't keep shooting at the same dot.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're running 5mm Rampage. I am going to give some wraps a try.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be using the Flex Fletch Pro 2.5s.
Mm-hmm.
In a 4 fletch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing the 120 degree set, which is kind of like the wings on the X-Wing from Star Wars. They're not like...
Okay, so you're not going to make them all the...
They're not 90 degrees to each other. They're kind of like the squat a little bit.
Yep.
Just where I am a shorter draw length shooter, that can give me a little bit better vein clearance when it comes to some longer yardage.
Yeah. Because you're going to... You'd run the arrow like an X-Wing, like... the flatter side up, so it gives you more clearance for your scope to roll down.
You got it, sir.
Good idea.
Trying to think ahead, right?
Yeah. I hear you. What are you getting out of your scope nowadays? Like, if you roll it all the way down, what are you getting?
Well, I just got... I'm just about to get the Spot Hog triple stack sighted in.
Mm.
So, I did get the extended tape, so they're good for 120. So, I'm hoping to get 110. And then what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to run a 20 and a 35-yard pin.
Okay.
And then the third pin, whatever I max out at, I'm going to then use the third pin to add on to that one.
Right.
Like to that max distance.
Yeah. I think I can roll out to like 125. I think I can get to
now. If I can hit 120 all on its own, I won't touch a thing.
I don't need to shoot
before. Because I can also then just use second and third pins and just find out where they land.
Yeah. Once you roll that one to 120. I mean,
that might get you to 150. Like,
good. Yeah.
Got some bombs.
That's a bomb. Yeah. That's a poke, man.
Two.
Yeah. 100%.
And so the super pointy bullet style 125 grain up front with the half outsert type insert.
Yep. Yeah. The insert.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Just
and that's your. What are you weighing in at roughly?
It's about 432.
Okay,
that's pretty standard. It's all within the 432 range, all within that one grain. So
it's a good weight.
It makes me happy. Yep. Well, actually, once I get the wrap on there, that's what they're like 6 grains or something, 9 grains,
7 grains. I weighed mine
7. At. Okay, so that'll put me right around 440. Which is perfectly happy for me. I got no problems with that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good weight.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. So I'm going to be running basically the same arrow as you, like you say, just the updated new version because I couldn't get Bloodlines anymore. So I went to a Black Eagle Rampage, a 5mm as well. Again, it has the knock collar. So I'm running a 4-fletch, Flex Fletch Pro 2.0 as well. 2.5. All in white with... Or 0.25, or yeah, 2.5, Pro 2.5s, yeah. And I also went with the same weight wraps you went with. And I'll be running the bullet style 125 grain up front.
Damn it, me.
For a point. And then I'll be running there, which comes with the arrow. This it's a 50 grain outsert.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the new outserts from Black Eagle is because they come with the arrows.
Yeah.
They have threaded in the back. So if you want like target arrows, you can actually get the tool that goes down your arrow shaft and you can thread in
some weight. An
extra weight if you want.
Yeah.
My total arrow build with the wraps and the 125 grain point is weighing in at 425. And I'm going to stick with a 425 grain arrow for attack and for hunting this year. I want a little bit of speed for deer this season. Even though what I had last year at 445 worked fine.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm on a mission to prove a point now that light arrows are just fine. So 425 is pretty light hunting arrow. So that's what I'm going to run. And they're at 25 and a half inches. Is what I cut them down to. Short. Yep, I wanted it. Right. It sticks out about this much past the rest. So I got about a quarter of an inch of carbon, then the outsert, then the point. So it's basically just past the front of my riser, but that much.
Yeah. So when I was in London, I found out how fast my bow shoots.
Ah. How fast does said bow shoot?
260.
260 feet per second?
Yeah.
That's bad, actually, considering.
Fully dressed. Peep in, cable-driven rest, 432 grain arrow.
Yep. That's not bad for a 26-inch draw length.
27 right now. 27 with a Bowtech. I'm up into the medium range. I made it.
That a boy. There we go. I'd be curious to see how fast my Levitate's shooting. It's a fast bow when it came out. So
I bet it's slower than you think, though.
Oh, it's definitely, my guess would be.
I'd say you're like 280.
I would have said 270 in the low to mid 270s would be my guess. I don't think it's, like, I think people have a skewed perception on how fast their bow is shooting.
Yeah. Oh, very much so.
Like, with that 425 grain arrow, you might be right.
Yeah, you'll pick
some. I might be up around 280, but. I think with my last year's setup, I'm probably in the 270 mark. So
yeah, would be now I could get up the 270 if I flipped over to performance as well.
Yeah,
but for sure. I'm gonna say that comfort draw is some nice,
dude. And 260 is gonna get it done.
Oh yeah, I'm not There's concerned no pro- like, about any not, of it.
Yeah, anything inside of 50 yards is
smoked.
And the likelihood of you having to make a 50-yard shot is so slim. And, unless we get moose tags this year.
Yeah, 50 yards, you know, pending that. For hunting, that's my max.
I would go out to...
And that would be on a bigger animal because it will react slower. On a deer, I'm maxing at 40.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. On a moose, I'd be willing...
I'd probably go to 60 if it was...
Given the right situation, I'd be willing to go out to 65 yards.
Yeah.
According to how... Because I was shooting at 50 and 55 yesterday when I was sighting in my Gen 2 for 3D. And I was... Every arrow would have been a kill shot.
Yeah.
I would have made a kill shot with every arrow. Now, to put them in a 2.5-inch circle, you know, I was a little around it sometimes... You know, on a few in it. Yeah. So at 50 yards is a lot longer. It's not, I find it's not the bow's capability. It's my ability to see the target and the pin.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge factor.
Yeah. Because I do what you're supposed to do and you look at what you're shooting. You don't look at your pin. Hmm. So when you're close enough, you get a good peripheral picture of the pin. At 50 yards, in bright sunlight, you lose that pin a little bit. If I would have had a light, maybe it would have helped. But I didn't have a light at the time. So it gets a bit dodgy after that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a poke, right? Like
50 yards is a long ways, man.
Yeah.
50 yards is more than people think it is.
Yes. Especially if your target has the ability to move. If it's a fixed 100%. Target, it's different because you can take the time to focus in and figure it out. But with that target's moving, and then maybe the brush behind that target is also moving, but in a different direction. Like that can really play tricks on you.
Yeah. If, in my opinion, if you're proficient enough, if you can take a 4 or 5 inch dot.
Yeah.
And you can put, like, let's say out of 10 arrows, you can put 6 to 7 ins inside that dot, and the rest are kind of just around it. You're proficient enough to make a kill shot at 50 yards.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, your vitals on something like a moose are quite large.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're talking a basketball size set of vitals easily. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to test your confidence, right? Shoot out at 50 and 60 yards, see what your groups are like. And, if you feel confident enough that you're within... Draw a set of lungs, like a life-size set of lungs for a moose on a piece of cardboard. Stick that sucker on your target. And, you know, you'll get an idea how accurate you can be.
Yep. Real quick.
Because you just need a double lung. You don't need, I know you aim for the heart, but you don't.
It's not mandatory.
No, lungs are a ethical shot as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's what most guys shoot their rifle that, you know.
Well, because
Pop always shot.
Yes. The reason why it's so ethical is because it's like the biggest target. And it's not that you're going to get just trauma to one organ. If you hit one of them, there's a damn fine chance you're going to hit both of them.
Yeah.
For sure. Right? And now you've got massive trauma in multiple organs at the same time. So.
Yeah. And if you get both lungs, man, like he's going to go a little bit. But he's not going to go far.
No.
If you don't pressure him and bump him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? You just let him ease off. Give him
20, 25 minutes and let him
expire. Know.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that shoot a moose even with a rifle that just stones him right there.
No.
Or you don't.
No.
I've only seen the old man do that a couple times. Like just, he never even took a step.
And I mean, like. You don't even see that a whole lot on a lot of the, like, the TV shows now and, like, even on Meat Eater and all that. Like, these boys are all crack shots.
Oh, they're, like, you take Callahan and Ranella and all those guys, like, those guys can shoot a rifle.
Very seldom is it just bang, drop.
Yeah, it don't happen very often.
It's here and there, but I would say 80%+ of the time it's bang. Oh, shit. Run, 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 walk, walk.
They usually stay within the range of where the boys can see them with optics.
Yeah, usually about 100 yards.
Yeah, they usually don't go farther than 100 yards.
And I mean, if you think about it, If we got double lunged, we could maybe get 100 yards by the time the adrenaline wore off.
From shock, yeah.
That's what I mean, right? Like,
yeah.
Bang. And if you just took off the instant you got double lunged.
Yeah.
The adrenaline would probably force you through to about 100 yards and then you'd just tap, 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 boom.
Yeah. Once your lungs fill up with
blood,
you're kind of fucked.
You can't breathe no more. You're not breathing but no that's, more, but right? Again, this is my point, right? Even once you stop breathing, your brain is still controlling your legs for another how many seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're choking, but you're still running. So you probably get 100 yards.
Yeah. But yeah, no, you're 100% right. A lot of them still, you know, they get a good run in. And yeah. I mean, that deer I shot, I got both lungs and the top of the heart.
Mm.
And she still went 80 yards.
Yeah.
So.
Animals are tough, man.
Whew, tougher than we are.
Oh.
I guarantee that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%.
Nobody shoot me with arrow. I ain't running nowhere.
No, I'm just folding up right there. It's all over. It's not just
I'm going to turn into a real wet paper bag real quick.
Shoot yeah.
Me with no arrow. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'd rather how shoot excited. Me with a bullet.
I think I'd rather a bullet.
Yeah. I would rather a bullet. 100%. I think so. The problem is, like, the bullet, okay, bang, yeah, okay, boom. Even let's just say we take a shot in the same spot, right? Say it's even a nice spot. It's in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Bullet goes through. No more bullet left in you.
Depending on the round, yeah.
9 times out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, a lot of trauma there. Maybe a broke bone or something. But, like, totally repairable, totally doable.
Yeah.
Chill out, get to the hospital. If you get shot in the shoulder with an arrow, you got to get the shit out.
Yeah.
If it did manage to poke out the back end, you still got to pull it out.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Hope whoever put the fletching on them arrows was a clean fella.
Yeah.
And if he shot
that's the
you,
other problem.
If he's shooting humans with an arrow, he's probably not super clean.
No, that's the other problem too, right? Is when you, like, lots of people have been shot and survived.
Oh, yeah.
50 Cent got shot 9 times.
Yeah.
That dude's fine. He's still rapping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Giggling it.
Yeah.
But it's different when you get shot with an arrow, man. That thing sticks in you. Then it's like flopping around inside, causing all kinds of turmoil, cutting everything up. Yeah.
Infections and everything else.
Yeah, it's not good.
How excited are you for 3D season?
Pretty pumped. I have probably the most custom bow tech I've seen. When I went into the Archer's Nook in London, shout out to Archer's Nook. You guys are great. He's like, you have brown Orbitz? I've never even seen the brown ones. I'm like, exactly. That's why I ordered
them. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I wasn't sure. So when I ordered mine, remember I was going to get a white riser with black limbs at first, and then I ended up going with an all black Reckoning. And I wasn't sure if I was going to have buyer's remorse for not getting like a fancier colored bow. But now the more I shoot it, the happier I am that I went with an all black, strictly business bow.
Yeah.
I like the whole blacked out with the red accents. Super cool. I got, I don't have one of my 3D arrows here, unfortunately, but I'm shooting the, what am I shooting again? The Black Eagle PS23s with two black fletches and one red. So super cool. Goes with the bow. Looks great. And man, those suckers fly straight.
Oh, yeah.
They're that's real good. I sighted in yesterday. All the way up to 50 yards. I didn't bother going past that because all the tournaments, the max yardage is 50 anyway.
Yeah.
Found my sight tape, matched up perfectly, 20, 30, 40, 50. So that tells me that it's probably going to be on point for 60. And those five distances are more important than anything past that for 3D anyway, because you won't shoot past that anyway.
Not within the tournament. Maybe if there's like a little special side course or something like that,
which is fine, but my biggest concern was making sure those were all on point and dialed.
Those are the ones that count.
Yeah, I did a bit of walk back tuning to get left and right corrected a little bit because as I went back, I did find some drift to the left a bit. So I've corrected that now, and now we're shooting pretty much dead center, you know, pending the times that I fuck up, but that's okay.
Never.
That's Never. No. Speaking of 3D season, Royal City Bowman this weekend has a tournament on Sunday, which is, what's the date? The 19th. So it's a great, great tournament to hit up. If you're a first time guy, like just getting out to 3D, it's a real good one to hit up. Yeah. So come and come join us. You can shoot with me. You won't be able to shoot with Gary because he won't be there.
No.
Because he lives in Ottawa and he was just here this weekend, and another trip down here would basically drive him insane.
Yeah. A lot of driving. I got to come back down in like 2 weeks anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. Right? So his mental load for driving all the way down here from Ottawa is tapped out.
And then I got to come back in June for a shooter's choice shoot.
Yes, you do have to come back. And then
in July, there's Porcupine Hollow, but that's up here. Ha ha, you got
to
drive.
That's up there. So we're coming to you.
And maybe Bowfest. We'll see about that.
Well, we're hoping.
Hoping.
We got to talk to some people about that, actually.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. Also, if you are, again, and you'll hear at the beginning of this podcast about pricing and stuff like that for Royal City Bowman, if you want to sign up for a membership, they also are, it looks like they're going to be having a 3D league
this
season. So if you're looking to get into a league, even if you're a beginner shooter again, by all means,
join it up. It's a great way to get in because you're going to see the same people. So you'll get comfortable with people and find someone who can kind of help guide you along.
Yeah. And it's a good crowd. People are always friendly and they want to help you out and make you a better shooter. Don't be afraid to come talk to me. I'm not a crack shot by any means, but if I can help you out, I certainly will. And, Chris is a great guy. He runs the whole course. Like he's the
RSO, the range safety officer type deal.
I think he runs the whole course and all that stuff. He's the manager of the facility. So I'm sure he'll help you out or point you in the direction that can get you some help. So come out, shoot with us, man. It'll be a great time. I think, the more the merrier.
Oh yeah. Right? Let's fill them up.
Yeah. And you're supporting your local range. So
I want to make it so all the ranges have to do 2 day tournaments.
I want a couple 2 day tournaments for sure. I like the 1 dayers too, though.
I want there to be too many people. So they got to run a block Saturday.
Oh, I see.
A block Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon, evening, everybody comes back, and then you have the shoot off or whatever format you're following.
I see what you're saying. You want so many people there that they have to have two separate shooting days,
like
right?
Tack.
Yeah, man. Archery is certainly a growing sport. Yeah, archery is a growing sport. I mean, more and more people are getting into it all the time. I was just at one of the hardware stores today, and somebody said, don't you run a podcast about archery? I was like, what? Me and my brother do a podcast called Full Draw, yeah, and they were like, yeah, we listen to it. They're like, my wife got into archery because of it. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Cool. So he apparently shot bows already, and, you know, they didn't know about the fact that you don't have to hunt.
No.
To shoot a bow, there's lots of different target setups you can do and stuff like that. So
there's,
even if you don't want
to
hunt,
I'd say there's more ways to target shoot than there is to hunt.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
for sure.
There's a lot of species of animals you can hunt, but like,
bow hunting at the end of the day.
Yeah, you got tree stands, ground blinds, spot and stock. Pretty much, that's it.
Yeah.
But there's 3D, there's FIDA, there's friggin' ASA, IBO, Olympic, recurve, friggin'.
Oh, everything. Whatever you want to get into, you can get into. I do suggest Compound.
I do too. I really do. But if you're that type of fella or lady that is just an old soul, don't be afraid of picking up traditional. You don't have to necessarily go full on Olympic recurve style.
No. I mean, you can.
Traditional is a great way to go to.
Yeah. It's hard though.
It is and it isn't.
There's not Like, it's instinct, right?
Yeah, it is and it isn't. It's the biggest thing about traditional is time with your bow. It's just like a guitar player, man. They're sitting around talking with their friends, haven't played the guitar in 2 hours, but it hasn't left their hands, right?
True.
It's a part of them. That's what these traditional guys, that's what Dave's like when he gets his traditional bow in his hand. He's just like, da, 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 like
He's good too. He's figured it out. That guy, he took that course and stuff, so he knows how to shoot a traditional bow.
Yeah.
Not quite well. But I mean, in all these ranges and tournaments, they have a traditional class. Like, you don't have to, if you want to come shoot them, you don't have to shoot a compound bow.
No,
if you don't
want not to. At all.
Like, you can shoot. I know it's easier to get into traditional because the barrier to entry much is much affordable. Cheaper.
Yep.
Right. You can get a recurve bow for under $200 if you want.
Oh, yeah. Brand new too.
When it comes to compound bows, I mean, you're hard pressed to get in under $600. Unless you're buying
for a ready to shoot thing, if you buy used, you can definitely
you can probably squeeze in under
deals,
But if you want a new bow, I mean, even the diamonds and
you're still $599 Canadian.
You're still $599 and up, and I suggest it's hard to say, right? Because the worst thing about one of those like diamond bows is if you do get into it, you're going to outgrow that bow fast.
Yeah. That's the only problem with them is they are a very temporary bow.
Yeah. And the issue is if you buy a bit of a nicer bow, you know, and you spend a bit more money like an Embarker, I guess it's the Vengeance now.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't get into it, you put a lot of money into something that
you end up not doing.
Luckily, a bow like that, the resale is pretty easy. Like, guys will buy that bow pretty quick. It won't be on the classified. It's very long. No,
the used market is strong.
Yeah, it is for sure. So, I mean, you know, it's really up to you, but compound is a bit, once you understand how to shoot a compound, aiming becomes a little easier.
Yeah.
Than a recurve thing.
And I'm going to say, like, the best thing I've found about the whole thing, like the going out to the events and stuff, is throughout these events, we have now accumulated a group of buddies that all in different ways are all really good archers.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And we've come across some real good fellas too, like good people, ladies too.
Yeah. 100%.
But like, that's probably my favorite part about it.
Oh man, I love meeting people and like that really love it and stuff like that. Like, you know, I mean, you take like Peyton's a great shot. Like he's a killer
technical.
Archer. Like he's into the super technical side of things. Like, you want to pick a guy's brain, that's the guy's brain to pick.
Then you got Josh. Josh is good because Josh shoots his bow a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Like, Dave is just
shoots
a naturally good archer. Like, that guy just he can shoot a bow.
Especially just on the traditional side. He's still a good compound shooter, don't get me wrong.
Oh.
But on the traditional side, he seems more at home, more natural.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong. That boy can shoot a compound too.
Oh yeah.
And Matt, he's a
he's slick.
Real good. That dude shoots unknown, man, and he does well.
I'm not even
like his ability to judge distance is quite good.
I'm not even trying none of that.
I mean, I might one day if I get good enough to the point where it's not that I don't feel like I lack the talent to shoot it. I don't feel like I had the ability to judge the distance correctly.
I don't have the time to practice ranging that much.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It comes down to
everything you look at, you got a range.
Yes. And you have to stop the rangefinder, basically go out to your range, guess the distance, shoot the distance, then range it to see how far off you were.
Yeah.
And then you will eventually build the muscle memory in your brain to know that looks like, you know, that's 20 yards there, or that's 44 yards.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's like, I can judge roughly 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 roughly yards
when you're taking points.
But that's what I mean. The problem is when you're trying to put it in a circle this big, which is, you know, a 2.5 inch circle, you can't say, oh, that looks like 50 yards and it be 45.
Yeah.
Because no good. 5 yards is, you ain't getting in that circle.
No, sir.
Forget
you,
it.
You might be getting a five.
Yeah. So you have to be, like, your guesses need to be within
a yard or two.
Two, maybe 3 yards at most.
Most.
Is all you can be off.
Yeah. And you don't want to be off by too much, because then you're missing target totally, probably soaring right up on over top.
Well, that's what I mean. If you guess, like, let's say if you've got a deer target, right, which are not that thick.
No.
They're long.
And you go 3 yards short.
If you guess, you're like, okay, I think that's 43 yards and it's 50 yards, you're going to shoot under it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no good.
No points for the knee. Oh, no, you get 5 points for a knee, don't you? Yeah.
You use 5 points anywhere on the body.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then the insert is 8, then 10.
I would almost rather a 0. Not quite, five? But almost.
almost rather 0?
Almost. Yeah.
I'm real excited to shoot this weekend. First tournament of the year.
Yeah, no, that should be good. I was hoping that I could do it, but to go like 3 out of 4 weekends, whoosh.
It's a long beat, man.
Well, it's also a lot of fuel, which ain't cheap.
Well, that's the biggest problem. You wouldn't even mind, really. The drive doesn't really matter that much.
No, I can handle the road time.
I get you the hotel room, and then you're comfy. You got your own spot. It's not like you're sleeping on air mattress or anything.
3 weekends out of 4, that's,
yeah,
that's $300 a weekend, pretty much.
If you had an endless supply of money.
Well, it'd be different.
Yeah.
I'd have a condo down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just fly the helicopter, land on the pad, fuck the train, and take my helicopter.
No, I mean, how much is the train?
That's a good point. I think it's like round trip is not too much cheaper. It is a little bit cheaper, but it's not like.
Oh, I thought it would be. If it were like $100 round trip, I mean, then you could kind of.
Oh, well, that'd be a lot.
Like, I'd just pick you up and.
Yeah, that'd be a lot simpler.
You'd be laughing, right? I mean, you should think about it for a tournament this summer.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just as long of a trip. It's actually a little bit longer time wise.
Yeah, but you could sleep.
Well, I'm going to be too busy looking at the scenery.
The scenery.
Scenery.
Yeah, until you get to Toronto and then you can sleep the rest of the way because nobody needs
to
see that.
No, because then I got to get off at Union and get onto a different train.
Oh, you do, yeah, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to get on the GO train to get to Guelph.
Yeah.
Good point.
Union's not bad, but it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Pretty cool building, though.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
We'll be down again. We're going to do another Blue Jays game this summer.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Do one Jays game a year, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good spot, right? We usually get right on the third baseline there. And.
Yep.
It's fun.
Wrong with that, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, so TAC should be an interesting event as well. We're pumped about that. I know we've talked about it already, so.
I know, but I've been sitting there going over, like, in my head, like, okay, this is what I need to bring, but what am I bringing on the mountain?
I'm not bringing much.
Me neither.
Nope. I'm hip quiver, bottle of water.
Oh, I'm bringing more now. I'm going to bring me a little cruiser skate pack.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think I'm going to backpack it. I'm going to put a little pouch on, put some snacks in there. I'm going to throw a bottle of water in. Yeah.
And you got to have a snack.
Yeah. But there's water stations on the mountain, right?
Yeah. And, like, it's not as far distance-wise as everybody thinks, right? Because we're only managed to get lined up for one course per day.
Yeah.
So, if anything, it's going to be like a 3-hour walk.
Yeah, which is not a big
deal.
No. And I watched Dudley's video, and he's like, I don't know why all these guys wear these big-ass Gafaro packs.
Bring
he's
tons like, of he's shit like, with them.
Dude, you're only going to shoot a course, man.
Yeah.
you don't need a fucking 4-day hike pack.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't need one. I mean, unless you have some need for like extra water, or if you're going to be the guy who carries all the extra stuff and then the next day you switch out the pack or something.
Yeah.
Cool. I get that.
And I'm sure they're going to have like a little map or something like that that they give you or whatever that probably shows you like hydration stations and stuff like that. Yeah. If there's enough close together, I might not even bring a bottle of water.
Yeah. I think we get a t-shirt too.
You do get a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go as light as possible because the lighter, the better, man, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to run my vinyl pack, rangefinder on the side, and then my hip quiver.
I might just run a fanny pack for my rain gear and a snack.
Well, that's what I mean. I think I'm going to put like a pack on the back of my hip quiver belt that has like my one rain jacket in it and some energy bars or something like that. And, or actually, I'm probably going to run trail mix, to be honest.
I like some trail mix.
And then like, I don't see me needing much else other than that. It's only going to be 3 hours. We'll have a good lunch before we hit the mountain and you know,
we're going to have a hearty supper again after anyway. So
that's what I mean. Like, I don't see the point in bringing,
but no, it's true though. I see the guys in the video all the time going around with like 60 liter, 50 liter bags.
Too much,
like,
man.
Puffed right out too. Like what?
Yeah.
What for?
I mean,
unless you're talking around a bunch of camera gear or stuff.
Like, I was just about to say, now that I think about it, with the camera gear, I might have to run a pack.
But again, you wouldn't need anything bigger than your skate pack.
No, that's all I'd run. I wouldn't run anything bigger than that. I don't see the point, right? But yeah, I guess I am going to have to run a pack because I'm going to have camera gear with me. And that's going to be, if it rains, you're going to want to get your camera back in the bag.
Yeah.
Where it's not going to get wet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting time. I'm excited.
Oh, I can't freaking wait, man. I think I am just as, if not maybe a little bit more excited for Vendor Village than I am for the actual shoot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The shoot's going to be sweet. It's going to be a more extreme version of what we're already doing, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But that's not going to be like crazy shocking to me.
No, no, no.
What will this be crazy gonna be shocking is when we walk down the alley of vendors and we're like, look at all the things we can't even find in Canada.
I know. It's going to be crazy. I am excited to meet Dudley.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
He's going to be there. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And he does like a seminar talk too in the evening. So I'm excited to go to that too and learn a few things, which would be good. So
yeah, I wouldn't mind learning some stuff.
Yep.
I like learning. It's good for you.
But you're right. It's going to be real hard walking through that vendor village, seeing all that stuff that you can't get here.
Yeah.
And that you could buy it there and you don't have to pay duties on it.
Well, as long as it's made there.
Well, I mean, you don't have to claim it. Just take the tags off. Just take the tags off, man. I bought an Armani suit back from Italy. I didn't tell anybody I bought the Armani suit.
Oh, you just did?
Well, I did now, yeah, but it's too late now. That was a decade ago, so good luck with that. It'll be interesting. Like I said, I'm going to bring a little bit of cash just in case I do see something I really, really want.
Yeah.
So I can grab it. And apparently, they do have good prices there, too, so.
Well, I would imagine
they're not gouging you, apparently.
I wouldn't even think it would be really full retail because, like, MSRP is kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it's apparently like very reasonable. It's not like when you go to an F1 race where it's like you go to the Ferrari booth and you're like, hey, can I have that Ferrari t-shirt? And they're like, yeah, $187. You're like, what? No, they're like, yeah, man, this is the Ferrari booth. You're like, so I can buy this anywhere else for like $50
at the most.
Yeah, so it's going to be hard for me not to buy like a sweet vinyl pack or something like that.
Oh, I know, man.
Or a quit like a hip quiver.
That's where I'm.
I got a funny feeling they're going to have some sweet ones there that I'm going to want.
That's where I'm going to struggle,
bro. I was looking at the Kuyu one.
I know it's nice.
I'm gonna tell you what, I like it more than the Kafaru.
Yeah.
Because it's got aero slots instead of just a pouch.
Yeah, you can buy the little inserts for the Kafaru one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're both real nice.
The Kuyu one comes with the quiver.
Yeah.
And the range finder pouch and the water bottle holder and the big pouch on the back for $239.
Yeah.
That's not like Kafaru, you have to like build it.
Yeah, yeah.
This one comes with this system.
Yeah.
So it's a lot cheaper, right? Mm. So I'm hoping Kuyu's there. And I hope I can grab one of those for a reasonable price.
I wouldn't doubt that they'll be there.
Oh, Kuyu will be there. Kafaro is going to be there.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if Numa is going to be there or not. I know they were in Texas, but I don't know if they're
going to say. Guaranteed they're in Texas. That's their home.
Yeah, that's their home range, right? A big shout out to Flex Fletch, too. Thank you very much for sending us all that gear. They're a great sponsor of the podcast. And we're very happy to be partnered with those guys. They're awesome. They make some great, great gear. We've been shooting their veins now since, what, 2-3 years now?
Yeah, 2 years for sure.
And they perform great for us. They steer well. They don't make much noise.
No, that's durable. My biggest thing. Well, there's my two factors. And I meant to take pictures of it because when I was in London and I opened up my case, my arrows were squished.
Yeah.
And they were all folded up and everything. And Buddy was like, oh, that's not good. I'm like, that's good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, let's give him a sec.
Let's check some stuff out here, and we'll come back in a few minutes. They'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what are they? I'm like showing them and everything. And like as we're talking, and they're coming back to temp, and they're loosening up, he's like, man.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
That's one thing I love about them is if you do squash them, they will come back to shape.
Yeah.
The other thing I really like is if you do get a real tight group and you hit the fletch, instead of – like going through the fletch and making a hole in it or tearing it, they just pop off.
Yeah.
And you might think that that's a bigger pain, but it's not because you don't have to go home and scrape the rest of the vein off or anything. Mm. It's just pops off clean.
Oh yeah.
You take a bit of emery cloth and rub the excess glue off, stick the vein back on, you're done.
And I think that has a lot to do with that lower profile base.
Mm-hmm. It's not as wide. Yeah.
No, not even close. And because of that, you can use less glue and still get full contact.
Full adhesion. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's hard to argue with.
Yep. I won't shoot anything else.
No.
Not a chance. On that note, folks, we will end it here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening. Again, if you want to come and shoot the Royal City Bowmen this weekend.
Sunday.
Come on down Sunday. It'll be a great time and ask about their league night and grab yourself a membership and get shooting.
Yeah, get out there.
All right, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Love ya.